Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Welcome to Warn Radio, with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Warn Radio. This is Sound the Show Far on a Friday. I'm the Watchman. Tower is not with us today. I want to remind you that Sound the Show Far broadcast features an in-depth biblical study. Today we are talking about blood guilt. More about that later. All of our shows are not call-in shows, and people that want to contact us, correspond us. We do not correspond through social media. And you need to go to our websites at warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com and send us something through our website. We do not respond very well to files and things that are attached to anything anyway. And that's including on Messenger and anything else. We don't answer on Messenger. We got a lot of people that are on there. And, you know, I don't have time to receive stuff from you and then redistribute. That's not why I'm here. As much as we love you, we just can't do it for everybody, and so we just had to make the policy that you want, if you have something important, you want to talk, you send us an email, and we will make arrangements if we can, if it's appropriate for what we're talking about. So go to our websites through our contact page at warn-usa.com. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Just try hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WarnRadio. On LinkedIn, it's Watchman. Tumblr, I'm not sure what it is. I think it's Warn Radio over there. This show broadcasts out on Blueberry, iHeart, iTunes, a couple of those, Spreaker, Stitcher. We put them up on Blog Talk. I don't know for how long. We have a number of things going out. Blueberry. Recent articles, National Sin, Sighing and Crying, and Visions of Sugar Plums and Socialism. These are in-depth articles as well. They're hard-hitting, and they're very biblical, and we believe that you'll find these things informative, enlightening, and biblical. So check them out. Go on over to either one of our websites, warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Today we are talking indeed about blood guilt. I've already had a dry run at this. We had some technical issues. But at any rate, we got things worked out. Blood guilt, the law of blood guilt. This is an in-depth study on blood guilt, which I have done numerous times over the years. I talk a lot about it, and you'll find out more about it. Getting into the law of blood guilt, we're in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. Abomination, did you get that? And this is Old Testament, so you turn around and tell me, yeah, we're not in the Old Testament. Well, you'd be surprised, especially when the Lord said, I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And fulfill it he did. But what we're going to tell you today will help you to understand the blood. It'll even help you understand the atonement and the blood that was shed. These things does the Lord hate. Okay, the first one, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. That's the seventh one. Well, he that sows discord, the apostles talked about a lot. A false witness, you'll find false witness in the Ten Commandments. Where else are we at? Feet that swift running to mischief, you'll find that all over America. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, you'll find that all over America. A lying tongue, you'll find that all over America. Well, other nations too, but we're talking about America here. A proud look, but the thing we're dealing with is hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. Now, specifically, hands that shed innocent blood. It's called blood guiltiness. Murder upon one who did nothing to deserve it. So we talk about innocent blood in the Hebrew. Innocent is 53:55. Blameless, clean, clear, guiltless, innocent. Blood. Well, you shed that which keeps us alive, the red stuff, the person's blood, and it's shed, causing him to lose his life. You shoot him, you stab him, you beat him up, whatever it is. Run him over with a car, whatever it is. Stab him with a spear, whatever it is. Causes him to die as a result. That is the shedding of innocent blood. And this is blood guiltiness, blood thirsty, the bloodshed of one person upon another who is blameless, guiltless, or innocent. This is not talking about if you are in your home and somebody comes on in and shoots one of your family members or tries to shoot you and you shoot back and they get killed. That's not at all what this is about. This is specifically killing the innocent. And you know, there is innocent people killed all the time. And even if you have a person that you may call, well, he was just a gang member. Well, if that gang member was standing there, okay, and you caused him to die as a result of his blood being spilled, he didn't lift a finger, you just shot him or killed him, or maybe you got in a fight, you killed him, and you're the one that started it, you're the one specifically that did it, and he died. It doesn't matter. That's the shedding of innocent blood. Although we are all guilty of sin, for all have sinned, this is not dealing with the fact of your sins that's over your head. This has to do with the fact that you have blood in your system. God put it there for you to live, and someone has taken your life before God has done it. God has a right to take your life. Nobody else does. Now, when we get into the law, we look into Genesis 9, 5 through 6. And verse 5, it says, "And surely your blood of lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of a man. Whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." So the Lord is saying that when you shed somebody's life, I will require a life. Now, by man shall his blood be shed. Whoever sheds that blood, by man shall his blood be shed. The one who sheds the innocent blood is going to have his own blood. He's going to lose his life. Well, in our world, we call this capital punishment if the government does it. If you find one that's convicted, he goes out and he shoots someone on a corner or he shoots someone in his house. They did absolutely nothing to deserve it. They face the gas chamber or whatever. Well, anymore, many of them get off. I know one in particular who has egregiously murdered someone here in our area, and his attorney got him off on a life sentence forever. No chance of parole, but that doesn't matter. This guy is a murderer. He needs to die, not sit in jail. And so the bottom line of it is that a lot of times the justice of nations get in the way, but God's justice will not wait. There is something that man cannot stop. And in Deuteronomy 19:10, the Lord gives the law. He's talking about this, when we're talking about that innocent blood be not shed in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. He had given a law concerning the blood, requiring justice for the blood shed in the land. And Israel was to follow the laws so that the land would not have innocent blood shed in the land. And the blood then is upon them. It's in the land, it's on them. And we'll get to that in a minute. In Leviticus 19:16, you shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people, neither shall you stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. You don't want to act against your neighbor, people that you know, or anybody for that matter, and take their life. That is blood guilt, when you take the life of someone and they didn't do anything. Leviticus 19:16 again, he says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among your people, neither shall you stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You don't want to go against your neighbor and cause his life to be shed. That is, again, blood guilt. Now, there is a reason, you know, when we talk about the life and that's in the flesh, and the blood is the thing that sustains your life. And for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. And so that's one of the laws that God had said, that the blood was to be an atonement. So God required, when Israel got out of Egypt, they went to Sinai, and God gave them the law of Sinai, and they had a system of sacrifices and atonements. And the Day of Atonement, once a year, the priest would go and make atonement for himself, then for his priests, and then they would make atonement for the children of Israel. And that atonement was done once a year. Then they had other sacrifices and stuff that they did in order to keep themselves in a proper aspect with the Lord God. So he says, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the souls. It's the blood. He had given him the blood of goats and bulls. And of course, Paul talks about this in Hebrews, saying that it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to remove the sins. So they had to do this all the time. Every year he would have to do this. However, Christ came once, shedding his own blood, giving his own blood. His blood was innocent. And he came and shed his life. He became the Lamb of God. And he died upon that cross. And his blood was shed. And that blood became the atonement. It was innocent blood. But he assumed our sins and guilts of humanity. The only requirement was for you to repent and receive him. John chapter 1, he went to his own. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And John 3, it says you must be born again to the Spirit. And 1 John 1 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Then you get into Romans. And in Romans, we look at this. And it talks about sin. Talks about the repentance and the confessing of sin. Romans 3 through chapter 3 through about chapter 7. You can read that whole context in there. But at any rate, God gave his Son for that. And of course, he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. But the bottom line of it is that when we talk about blood, you know, in the Christian arena and believing God, the blood was for the atonement. And even if you're a Jew, blood was for the atonement. And if you're a Messianic Jew, blood is for the atonement. In the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats was for the atonement. In the New Testament, the blood of Christ shed upon the cross is our atonement. It required our faith. We must believe, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seeks him. And of course, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. So like Abraham, we believe God. And it is through that belief and faith and the work on the cross that this atoning blood is applied to our lives. Now, that's one aspect of the blood. Now, the aspect we're dealing with is the shedding of innocent blood, the blood guilt. And when we're talking about innocent blood, you can't get anything more innocent than a baby. And that's where we talk about abortion. Now, this study is not about abortion. This study is about bloodshed. But there's one aspect that you can't get away from, is when you kill the baby in the womb, that baby is real. Now, while the body belongs to the mother, the baby belongs to God. That is not your baby. That is a child of God. God is the one that gave it life, and you have no right to take it. Now, when we say that, we also say, in the midst of this, if there was a threat of life of a mother, then you have to make a decision. That is to save the mother, and if it costs the life of the baby, you're not doing that out of sheer murder intent. You're doing that to save a life. So, especially today in America, in recent years, where New York and others have passed egregious abortion laws, up to the time of the third trimester, even when the woman's given birth, that they can take that baby, and that baby's alive, they can still kill it outside of the womb. Now, in the old days, before they passed the law, they could kill the baby as long as it was in the womb. They still murdered the baby, but it was in the womb. And that's the big issue here. And now today, of course, the reason we have abortions are very simple. We have sex, all kinds of sex. And people get in trouble, and the man and the woman decide, well, let's go get an abortion. But at any rate, it happens. We have abortions like you wouldn't believe in this country, and the blood of innocent victims is stacking up, and it goes into the land. Yes, the land of America. Now, we're not the only ones that have shed a blood. We're not the only ones that have abortion like this. China does, India does, and many other places have this abortion mill. So it's not just an American problem, it's a human problem worldwide. And God is the one that's going to deal with it. God is the one that's going to reap the justice, and that's up to him. You have nothing to say about it. He will hold humanity accountable. Now, as we talk about it, we understand that life of the flesh is in the blood. And it's that blood that makes atonement, and for that we can thank the good Lord. And that's exactly why the devil hates blood so much, because it is through that blood, the atoning work of Christ, that redeems us, and he knows that. That is why he works to defile the flesh. That's also why he works to defile the family. That's why he works to defile nations. That's why he has certain groups like jihadists who murder and slaughter innocent Christians all the time. And just like ISIS, who went through the Middle East like they did, went through raping and pillaging and shedding innocent blood. There's a curse over those people that do that. And the land is full of blood, and so you do have the blood that is still in the land and still stained the land in Syria and Iraq. But we also find the blood staining the land in America, because we're unrepentant when it comes to this particular thing. In addition to that, we have other nations that are the same way. And one of the big things we've had in this country recently is the debate over this abortion mill. The ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, just won of many that are fighting this aspect of the very late-term abortion and the murder of children. They're trying to defund Planned Parenthood, which in some respect has happened. So in all of this, we see a lot of things going on. And so the bottom line is that it talks about innocent blood. Now, I don't, you know, I can't do nothing about the fact of what people are already doing. You know, you're not going to stop the murder of people. Murderer, the first murderer, it was Cain when he killed Abel. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. He caused rebellion in heaven. And he hated God and was going to overthrow him. And, you know, as long as there's a devil and as long as there's bloodthirsty demon angels out there that follow him, there is going to be bloodshed. These people, I mean, these entities will possess people. And one of the strongest defiling spirits, demon spirits, is the demon of sex and blood, where sex is combined with blood to defile not only the blood, but how God intended sex to be in the confines of a marriage between a man and a woman. And, of course, we are in the end of days. And Psalms 2 describes the rebellion there. And you can read that. But there is a rebellion going on in this nation and in the world against God. And God will put it down. It's going to come to a head when the last Gentile ruler, which will be the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the beast as we know him. He is not commonly called as an Antichrist because we already have Antichrist, but he will lead the Gentile nations against Israel. He will want to destroy Israel, to kill the Jews, take over Jerusalem, and set himself up as God in the temple of God. But he is one that is intending, and he will be the last major rebellion on this earth against God Almighty in the end of days. And he will signal the very end of the Gentile reign and rule at that time, because the greater son of David will come in, and he, meaning Yahshua, Jesus Christ, will put an end to him, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years according to Scripture. But these, you know, today and for a long time, we've had the vampire movies where they suck blood, where they make it very sensual and sexual, and you have a man and a woman, and they cut each other's arms and suck their blood and have sex. I mean, this is a very strong spirit. In many demonic ceremonies, the killing of an innocent child is commonplace. Now, to say that, for instance, the Satanic Temple the other day, you know, got that ruling that they are a religious, you know, organization. I'm not saying that they do it, but I'm telling you that it goes on. The bottom line of it is that a lot of these things is part of the end of days lawlessness. People who, rather than serve in heaven, they'd rather rule in hell, but they're going to be ruled in hell. They're going to be in hell, and it won't be fun. So there is going to be a difference. These people are deluded and deceived. God has given over many people over to reprobate minds because they refuse to listen to the truth, and we can see more clearly in 2 Thessalonians 2 what God does when they reject the love of God, and they reject the love of the truth. When they, in 2 Thessalonians 2, reject that, God sends them a delusion in the form of the son of perdition or the son of destruction. And he comes with miracles and signs and wonders and sets himself up in the temple of God as God. And he will say mighty things against God. This is all going to happen. That's the way it's going to be. And you're going to have the shedding of blood. But I teach this in order to tell Christians and others who are interested the difference within this confines of innocent blood. Now, the one thing that you have to understand is the shedding of innocent blood, whether it's through abortion or murder or some other means, it's not as simple as, well, he did it and that's it. That's not what this is about precisely. It is about that, but it's a lot more than that. Numbers 35, 33 through 34. So you shall not pollute the land wherein you are, for blood it defiles the land. The land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which you shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I the Lord dwell among the children of Israel. Now this specifically talks about Israel. Israel, of course, was a theocracy. They were told not to pollute the blood, the land with blood. And that gets polluted by shedding innocent blood. And this is different from the other times when people have their blood shed. If you are defending yourself, it's different. Now, here, the blood defiles the land. So when we are having our abortions, when we have a lot of murders in our cities, where you have one person killing another, for instance, down in Mexico the other day, they had a man and a woman and their child. They're driving in a car. They stopped at a checkpoint. The people at the checkpoint were crooks. They shot both of the both the mom and the dad and threw the kid out of the car and stole the car. Now, that is blood guilt. That is out and out bloodshed. And see, Mexico has had so much bloodshed like that that it is impossible to cleanse it but by the blood of him that shed it. Now, seeing as that is impossible, what ends up happening is judgment to the land. You can call a fire of judgment will go through the land, and that will cleanse the land. Now, one day that will happen to Mexico, and it'll happen because of that as well as other sins. It'll happen in America. It'll happen even in Israel. It'll happen because there's a lot of blood that's been shed in Israel throughout the courses of time, even Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a long ways from having more blood spilt in it. And so these are the things that happens, you know, and we don't want it as a people in America to continue to have our land defiled by the blood. Because that means the land will actually vomit you out. It will end up being cleansed, and it will vomit out that which is causing it. So, you know, you may think these things are nothing to be concerned about, but I assure you, according to Scripture, and according to the results as we see, this is exactly what you have to pay attention to. And, of course, today, you know, as many women as are for abortion, there are a lot of women that are against abortion. And the bottom line of it is that this is not an abortion issue. This is a blood issue. This is an innocent person getting murdered. And, of course, there are innocent people murdered all the time, even by the government. Now, one of the things that that happens, and one thing God that did in the Old Testament was create cities of refuge where you had someone, if they accidentally killed someone, then he could flee to a city of refuge and nobody could touch him, because then if someone went and killed him, then that person who killed them would be guilty of innocent blood, so he would be in trouble. And he would face death. So if you had someone, and this is the thing, let me read it in Deuteronomy 19. When the Lord thy God has cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God gives thee, and you succeed them and dwell in their cities and in their houses, you shall separate three cities for you, for thee rather, in the midst of the land where the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Now the word Lord here is Yahweh, Jehovah. Very, very important name of God. This is the authority behind it. Thou shalt prepare you a way and divide the coasts of your land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. And this is the case of the slayer, which shall flee thither, that he may live. Now this is the cause. Now this describes innocent blood. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hates not in times past. Now, when you're talking about murder, it's murder when you're hating and lusting and doing these things and wanting to take what they have. Now, you may not hate him, but in the fact that you don't love him, you really do hate him. In the fact that you want to take something of theirs and you're willing to kill for it, that's hate. And so that's where this comes in at. In the next verse, as when a man goes into a wood with his neighbor to hew wood, to chop wood, and his hand fetches a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slips from the helve and lights upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee to one of those cities and live. So if you go out with your friend into the woods, you both have axes. Now, you know axes back then, and today most of them you can find a one-piece axe made of steel. This wouldn't usually happen unless it slipped out of your hand. But the bottom line of it is that you have this helm, the wood head, the axe head that's attached to that wood can slip off. In the old days, they would do that. And if it slipped off and flew over and hit your friend and killed him, this was an accident, and so you're not going to lose your life for that. You can flee to the cities of refuge. Now, it says, lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot and overtake him, because the way is long and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in times past. So you're out there with your buddy and you're chopping wood, and all of a sudden the axe handle comes off, hit him in the head, he gets killed. The authorities find out and they declare, well, you're innocent, you can go to the city. But you don't leave and go right away. You kind of hang around and you plan on go. Meanwhile, the avenger, in other words, the guy's brother, finds out that this person killed his brother. So he goes after him, and he's in the heat of rage, which makes it a sin, and he overtakes him, and he kills him. Now, the guy that got killed, it was an accident. He was not worthy of death, and he didn't hate him. It was an accident. Now, see, this is a big thing when you're talking about murder, when you're talking about innocence. And that is, we don't hate. If you get to the point where you hate someone and lust after it, and you kill him, yeah, that's hate and that's murder. But if you are in a house or walking down a street and you intervene simply to protect someone, and in the course of that struggle they get knocked down, hit their head on a rock and die, you're not guilty because you were protecting the woman. That's in the eyes of God. Now, your local authorities may find difference about it, but this is what we're talking about when we talk about innocent blood. And, of course, when we do talk about the ability to defend yourself, that is pretty much a given in Scripture, clear from the time even Abraham, raised an army to go after Lot and pursued the people that took him and brought him back. And in the course of that battle, people were killed. And, of course, Abraham wasn't guilty of anything. He was rescuing Lot, trying to get him away from those who were going to harm him. And so we do see this kind of thing. Cain just slew Abel. He grew hot in anger and jealousy and slew him and killed him. That is blood guilt. That's murder. And he paid for that too. So he says, wherefore I command you, prepare three cities, and if the Lord God enlarges your coast as he has sworn unto your fathers and gives you all the land which he promised. Now, this is before he had given it all. In the beginning, they would start with three cities, then they were two. He says, if you keep all these commandments and do them which I command you, to love the Lord thy God and to walk ever in his ways, then you will add three more cities besides these three. So he gives them more because they're a bigger country, and they need more in order to protect people. Now, I like the City of Refuge. I do. I think that was a good deal for them. The reason why he was doing this again, verse 10, that innocent blood be not shed in the land, which the Lord thy God gives you for an inheritance, so blood be upon thee. See, he doesn't want blood shed in the land, because if it's shed in the land, the blood is going to be upon you. You're going to be guilty. Now, when we get to the New Testament, Christ is our City of Refuge. He is that refuge for us that we can approach, we can seek Him, we can become His child and follow Him. And if we do something wrong, He will forgive us. He will cleanse us. Nevertheless, if you're murdering as a Christian, you're going to have to pay for it. I mean, you know, David was forgiven of his blood guiltiness. You can be forgiven of it. But there are some people with so much blood on their hands, they would never repent. And if they ever seemed to repent, they weren't serious about it. There are people that are totally corrupt and outside the bounds of God's ability to deliver them, simply because these people's hearts are so hard-hearted and their minds are so seared and given over to a reprobate mind that they will never repent in order for God to forgive them. Make no mistake, God can forgive and cleanse and heal anybody if that person will come to Him with a true heart. But the problem we have today is pride separates a lot of people from that ability. Even in John 3:16, where everybody knows, if you follow the context of that, the Lord says that within that they won't come to the light because they love the darkness more. And that is where we're at in America today. We have people that, you know, I mean, and we're not the only ones, but we've taken up certain lifestyles that are abomination with God. We're not going to listen to nobody. And it got to the point to where even our political establishment and our laws have changed to say it's okay. Now, see, just because it's okay in America does not mean it's okay with God. Just because the popular thing is to go to a satanic church because you want to reign in hell, that isn't going to save you. Your ignorance is not going to save you. The fact that you're doing that and you don't come to the Lord when you face Him, guess what? You're not going to be reigning in hell. You're going to be suffering. And you're not going to be in hell forever. Hell is not going to live forever. It's not going to be there forever. Death and hell are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. You'll be in the lake of fire. And as an eternal being, you will never be destroyed. You will be in that lake of fire forever. And it says, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. That worm is a form of judgment because of your soul being so full of sin. Worms will go in and out of your body, in and out of your spirit as you're burning. That is the judgment of God. It'll ascend forever and ever before the throne of God, the smoke thereof. So make no mistake, Christ is the City of Refuge. He is the refuge for us and the world today. Don't listen to people who try to coax you into falling away or to going to some other way. There is no other path. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us there is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end thereof it leads to death. This is not the time in your life to be playing around. Now is the time to get serious with God. And I'm speaking to you out there. When you hear this, the Lord is warning you and telling you and calling you in His compassion, do not do this. Come back to the Lord. This is very important. So understand this. This is real. Now, let's go into Jeremiah. You see, Jeremiah preached to the Jews, Judah, for over two decades. You know, it's really sad that the Jews in their history, they should have known better. But they wouldn't listen to Jeremiah. The Jews were sacrificing to other gods. They were walking after other gods. They were sacrificing their children to other gods. And so in this particular section, he says, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it. But go now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at first, and see what I did into it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now because you have done all these works, says the Lord, I spake unto you rising up early and speaking that was through the prophets. But you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, and I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. This is the lost tribes of Israel, the northern tribes. Now you see, the murder in here has to do with passing the children through to fire. The fact that they were going into the temple, even their priests and their prophets were doing double duty for Jehovah and for the other gods to make extra money. They would also go into the temple, perform their rites, and make their sacrifices. And of course, they would go in there, and of course, the Day of Atonement, they had asked the Lord to forgive them. And they thought that's what they had to do. But see, the problem of it is when they always asked the Lord to forgive them, they knew they were going to go out and do it again. That's not repentance. That's mocking God. You know, Scripture says, God will not be mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that's what he will reap. That's Pauline. That's his speaking. And you'll find that in Galatians when he talks about the works of the flesh and works of the Spirit. Now, if we look at the New Testament, we go into our churches. Of course, we ask God to forgive us. We sing our songs and go out. We act like heathen. 6 days a week, we go back in. You see, are we delivered as well to do all these abominations? Look at America. Really take a good look at America. And I write about this as well as teach on it. When we look at America today, we see a lot of abominations. Yet I hear nothing out of the churches. And we're on a lot of social feeds. I monitor a lot of stuff. I monitor hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of articles. We have a lot of people that follow us. And if there was major pastors out there warning, then I would hear about it. I hear very few, if any. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't pastors in local congregations trying to tell their people not to do these things or to wake people up. But it means for all the churches, all the Christians, and everything in America, we shouldn't be this full of abomination. Now, Shiloh was a place of glory at one time. But Shiloh, the glory departed. This was during the time of Eli and his sons. Matter of fact, they even lost the Ark of the Covenant this time. And Ichabod was written over Shiloh because the glory had departed. Everything was terrible. And many churches, I tell you today, the glory, the anointing has departed, and they go through the motions. Even the apostles warned about this. You get to the point where they have a form of godliness, but denying the power of. That's what Paul talked about in the last days. Perilous times shall come. that's where we're at in America. We have a lot of people in churches that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. There's no power. They don't live in holiness because they don't have the power to live in holiness. You have not been born again by physical means. You have not been born again through church. You have not been born again because you're a member. You are born again by the power of Almighty God with His Spirit, changed because you came to Him, you truly repented, and there's a regeneration process to make you new through the power of the Spirit of God which is in you. And if there is no change in you, then I wonder if you even accepted the Lord and you're allowing the Spirit to work. The Spirit of God will change you. This is the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the earth. So don't tell me Christians can be seen as a bunch of pagans. Just like that young woman who made it on the social media, and she's a Christian, of course, and she doesn't have any problem sleeping with men. That's called fornication, female. Fornication, yeah, women can do it too, and they do. Men do it as well. Fornication. Oh, Jesus loves you. That's what you said. Yeah, He loves everybody. He even loves the sinners. God is not happy that the wicked die in their sins. God calls demands. He commands all men everywhere to repent, but they don't. And that means women too. See, that's the problem. In America, we are living in this society, and we think this judgment will never happen. Well, if God judged His own temple, His own priests, His own prophets, His own people for their sins, do you think He's going to let the Christians and America get away with it or any other nation? No, He will not. So getting back to blood guilt is just one thing we're talking about today, but the blood guilt. Yeah, nations get into killing their kids for some reason. The Aztecs and the Incas, they were all caught up in this kind of stuff, as well as many other nations. Child sacrifice, it was common. Well, he's just one small kid. Let's throw him in. It'll please God. We'll have more. Well, they do that today in satanic circles. We know from the testimonies that came out of from former satanic priests. So don't believe the lies of the devil. Don't believe these people in the satanic temple that try to tell you that you're going to reign in hell. Boy, that'll be something you'll regret. You need to get close to the Lord. Now see, Psalm 106:38 says this, and the Lord is speaking. This is what Israel did. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, the land was polluted with blood. That's why they had to go into captivity to cleanse the land. Now today, we shed innocent blood on a major scale. We shed the blood of our sons and our daughters, but they're unborn. Sometimes they are born right out of the womb, but we kill them. We've been doing it for years. China's been doing it. India's been doing it. A lot of the nations do it. The UK been doing it. They all do it. Russia does it. See, because we believe that God will never hold us accountable. And this is why I'm talking about it. I'm here to tell you that God will hold you accountable. He will hold you accountable. You know, now that will be a fun time. Because you thought that everything was going to be fine. Well, when we pick this up next week, we will start at Tophet. I actually wrote an article on this, and I think I've still got it. I'm sure I have it on our websites. The High Places of Tophet, T-O-P-H-E-T. But you see, these are things that are important. It is too bad in societies we reach a point where we think life will be better if we kill our children. And, you know, when they passed that law, they were passing laws on abortion, talking about trimester abortions. The wife and I were with some people who had a newborn, just hours old. I think I was one day old. And the wife was holding this tiny little baby. And you look at those little babies and you think, how can anybody kill them? Now, see, that's one thing. And see, we get upset over this discussion because the people that want abortion do it for their own selfish reasons. They don't care about the baby. And they've even made excuses that it's not a baby until it's born. Well, I got news for you. Now you're willing to kill them outside of the womb. Now what's your argument? See, they all believe they have a right. That argument will send people to hell. You don't have a right. It's not your kid. It belongs to the Lord. The Father is the Father of all spirits, and He's the Creator of all people, everything. It can be forgiven through Christ, but what I'm trying to tell you is that people have that need to shed blood, just like Cain. But see, the children of Israel, and there's other nations that did it too, they have a need. I don't know why. That just, it's because of sin. Well, things will go better if we start throwing one of our children to a god. So they would sacrifice it to these gods. Man. But see, there's a lot of sins in the old world today. But see, ISIS shed innocent blood when they went through the land, raping and pillaging and killing like they did. They didn't go through there to have an honest battle. They didn't go up against an army. They did finally when another group of Muslims actually took arms against them, the Kurds. And with the help of America and others, they defeated them. But ISIS, no. They would surround a town. They would kill everybody innocently. Those group of fighters, demon-possessed. In the name of their God, they were demon-possessed. And they slaughtered. And yet you have people like AOC and others who... Well, that's a whole other story. You see, evil is evil. And if something happens to this nation, it'll happen to you if you live here. And there are people today. Leads me back to AOC. A dumb, young, House of Representative, prideful female, who won't listen to anybody. She's got an agenda. Now see, enemies enter into America because of the sins. That's biblical. I did talk about that on our program. We're going through Isaiah. I talked about how that works. But see, we've got enemies here. They would love nothing better to have this nation fall. So at any rate, when it comes to blood guilt, we are going through it to help you to understand every part of it. And then you'll know. And don't worry, there's not going to be a test. But there is a reason I'm telling you this. This is biblical. This is important. And I started teaching this many, many years ago. And I believe that this can help you. But remember, there is Christ, and in Him we are able to find refuge. So today, look to Him. So we're done. We'll come back next week and we'll do this. Remember to go by our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. You can follow us on any one of our social accounts. We have a lot of information that flows through those. Join us on Twitter. Our Twitter account is really popular. Had a lot of good stuff. Not just Christianity, but we have, and I say that in a good way, but we do have, I purposely put on there a lot of other things. We have a lot of national parks because I like wildlife and God's creation. And a lot of other things you'll find interesting. We have Gundry on there and Perlmutter and a lot of others who can help you with health. So follow us on Instagram. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that we cannot discuss, talk, or do much of anything in a social media setting. What we do is serious. We're busy all the time. And when I'm not doing this, I'm writing books and editing materials and writing articles. And, if you need people that need help, people that know how to get a hold of us, do so through our contact page. That's all there is to it. So for today and for Tower, shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warren Radio. And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle. It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Get to Old Navy right now. Jeans, tees, and dresses for the family are on sale up to 50% off. Jeans start at just $15 for adults and $10 for kids. Hurry in now for amazing styles at amazing prices. Up to 50% off jeans, tees, and dresses. And save even more when you redeem your Super Cash now through Sunday. Get there fast. These deals won't last long. End Sunday at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid July 20 to July 28th. Select styles only.